بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today is the last lecture of the term, as you know. And next time what we do is open to discussion. We can discuss it afterwards. But today, time for tafsir. And the surah we want to discuss is Surah Al-Kawthar. And it's a surah that all of us know. And most of us even from time to time recite it in prayers. As far as Sha'n al-Nuzul of this surah is concerned, as far as traditions are concerned, some of them say it's Makki, others say it was revealed in Medina, and others have said, just to combine both the things, it was revealed twice in Makkah and Medina, which is the usual case with many of the Mufassirs, just trying to combine everything. But if the traditions which are there regarding when it was revealed is concerned, probably it is a Makki surah. In the traditions we find that it was revealed after the Prophet's, one of the Prophet's sons had died, and others it is the second one, Shafullah, others is Qasim, the first one. And one of the mushriks said that, or referring to the Prophet, says he's Aftar. We'll see what the meaning of Aftar is. Aftar is somebody who doesn't have a form or doesn't have a tail. Literally, Aftar is an animal without a tail, or an animal whose tail has partly or fully chopped off. And then also anybody who doesn't have any sons or descendants is also known as Aftar. That is, there's no following. As far as this concern is finished there. So that's when this surah was revealed, because as you know, the last ayah says, Inna Sha'niyaka Huwa Al-Abtar, saying that this person, whoever he is, your enemy, he is the Abtar, not you. And also it has been noted by Mufassir that this is the shortest surah in the Quran. Now, Surah Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Inna, verily, we a'tainaka, have given you. Ata a'tainaka, we have given you al-kawthar. Kawthar literally is from kathura. Kathura in Arabic means to be or much or abundant. And kawthar is that form of the word where it means what is known as mubaliga, that is lot, I mean exaggeration, that is not only much, but here it is lots and lots of much, or as others have pointed out, kawthar is infinitely much. We have given you lot. And as you see, the word itself, kawthar, means a lot. It doesn't say lot of what. So I mean, usual sort of thing, I mean, when I say I've given you a lot, or anybody says I've given you much or extremely much, it means a much of everything. I mean, nothing is specified, so it's everything. As far as Mufassirs are concerned, there are, I don't know, quite a few things they have said, much of what, for example. And for example, it has been said, as Tabatabai says, there is big sort of difference in the Mufassir as to what is this much. And from riwayat, as far as traditions are concerned, just traditions, we get two sort of meanings. One is hawd. There is a hawd or nahar. Some of the riwayat, it is hawd, which is a pond. And the other it is Nahr, which is a river in paradise called Kawthar. And this is what we traditionally sort of hear about it, how the Kawthar, or in some of the rivers, a river, Nahr of Kawthar, which is a river or a pond in heaven. So Allah, and this rivayah says that instead of his son, when his son died, the Prophet was saying, don't worry, we have given you this Kawthar, this river or a pond in Jannah. And some others sort of go on saying what sort of a river it is, this sort of sweet water, and white water or unintense water, which is combination from other verses of Quran, which doesn't deal with the same. I mean, there maybe it's regarding other nats, but this has been combined in other traditions, as you would, as natural. I mean, later on this would happen. And then there is another which says awladuhu, that is his descendants, that we have given you, don't worry, I mean, this son of yours died, but we have given you lots and lots of descendants. And these are two sort of that we glimpse from some traditions. As far as the others are concerned, which is ashabuhu, ashiyahu, which is his ashabs, his followers, or ilmuhu, or ulama ummatihi, and all these things, Nabuwa, Islam, Quran itself, all these things, which is in fact a lot of good. I mean, they've given you a lot. I mean, his followers are many, his companions are many, and so on and so forth. Whatever you can, fazail, or his virtues, and all these other things, which have many of the Mufassirs have sort of narrated. Now, looking at the word itself, there is no sort of, if you are just told, inna atayna kal-kawthar, without this traditions or any other things, you would just say that he has given you a lot of good. I mean, nobody boasts about giving somebody a lot of bad. So we have given you a lot of everything that is good, we have given you lots and lots of it. And even if you look at these traditions also, for example, how the Kawthar, I mean, the Kawthar also, the description is such a pond from so many people. A pond, what's the use of a pond? It's something that people will drink from it, and if people will drink, who are the people? They are the followers of the Prophet who are going to drink. Nobody else is going to drink from outside. So follower, I mean, this house also sort of signifies that he has got lots of followers, or this Islam. And even the Kuffar, when they say that you are after, you don't have a following, or you don't have any descendants. I mean, traditionally it was thought that a son would carry on the work of a father, and that's why they were sort of happy that his son had died and that he is after. So that, okay, he is a problem maker, he'll die, things will finish. So the gist of it is, it boils down to followers, nothing else. I mean, if he doesn't have a son, and this thing that is Islam will die, don't have a follower. So even there, when they were referring to him as an abtar, or referring that he would not have any followers. So when Allah says, you have given Khairun Kathir, or you have given Kawthar, it is a lot of good. And that's why some of them have said follower is the main sort of thing, that your religion will flourish, Islam will flourish in the world. This is what it boils down to, and that is all the other goods stem from Islam. Even the follower is part of Islam. So it is, we have given him this good, a lot of good, from which all these other goods will come out. And for example, Tabatabai says that the one he prefers is that it refers to, the preference that he gives is that he has got a lot of descendants. And this comes out from, he says that if you look at the last verse, إِنَّ شَانِيَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ, verily your enemy is the one who doesn't have any descendants. So he says that there would be no meaning to this thing if that first one did not also give the tiding that you have got lots of descendants. But he said, yes, I mean, descendants can be part of a lot of good we have given, just one of the good things, or one of the lot of good things which we have given you, lots of descendants, lots of followers, and others, lots of other things. So literally, Kawthar means a lot of good, infinitely good things. So we have, verily, we have given you lots and lots of good. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. And this, because this is a present from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his ni'mah, fasalli. Then, salli literally means to pray. And in the original sense, I mean, it means to supplicate, to make dua, what we call dua. Or as some others have pointed out, when you look at the most specific meaning, is to draw or turn your attention towards. In dua also, you turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after the coming of Islam, the salat or the prayer that we know, so whenever, for example, a Muslim says salat, he would never think of dua, he would think of prayer. remember, these are early times, talking to people who are not yet familiar to us. So we have to take the main meaning, the wider meaning, salli bi rabbika, then pray, supplicate, would include salat as well, the one we know. Li rabbika, to your Lord, one har. Now, nahara literally means to cut or to strike an animal at the upper part of the chest, just below the throat. Or it is said to strike in the place where the windpipe starts or coop starts. And this is how, for example, and more specifically to sort of strike a camel in the upper part of his chest where the windpipe starts. That's for slaughtering it. And nahrun, the word nahar means the upper part of the chest or the place where the windpipe starts, or just below the neck. So fasalli li rabbika, then pray to your Lord, one heart. And literally it would mean slaughter and camel. That's what many of us have said, slaughter a camel or give sacrifice of a camel. And this is because of the thanks, of give thanks in this way for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Now in traditions which has been related by both Sunni and Shia Mufassirs, some from the Prophet directly and others from Imam Ali, and the Shia specifically from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says that one har does not mean to sacrifice or to cut the throat, slit the throat of a camel or any other animal, but means to raise your hands up to your nahar, when you say Allahu Akbar, it is one har. Pray, and when you sort of start your prayers, when you say the first Allahu Akbar, raise your hands. And the other hadith and traditions also the same meaning as whenever Allahu Akbar says, then raising the hand to the upper part or against the neck or face is called nah. And that is what is meant here, not slaughtering of an animal. Now this is what we get from the traditions, all the literal meaning does not suggest this, though the suggestion of being the upper part of the chest or just below the neck is there. I mean, you're raising the head to that part, that's why you can say there is a connection with nahar. But literally nahar means slitting or cutting, killing an animal by slitting the upper part of the chest or where the windpipe starts. Inna sha'niyaka huwa al-aktar. Verily, shaniyaka. Shani'ahu means he hated him. Hated him vehemently. He hated him, extremely hated him, somebody. And this word, for example, in other form of its form, has also been, has also come in the Quran. Shan'an, which is the verbal noun. La tajrimannakum shan'ana qawmin Allah ta'dilu, i'dilu huwa akrabu min akrabu huwa akrabu lit taqwa. Literally meaning that do not let the hatred of a people force you towards being unjust to somebody. If you have had somebody, I mean, it's difficult for you to be just to that faith. So let not the enmity of yours or your hatred for people force you into being unjust to them. And I can just, being just is more nearer to taqwa. But anyway, the form here is shani, which is ismul fa'il, the one who hates you. Or verily the one who hates you, or one who is your enemy, huwa al-abtar. He is the one who is abtar. And as we said, abtar, literally abtar comes from batara. Batara means to cut as well. Cut before it is completed, or to cut the tail, either partly or fully of an animal. And after is an animal or a thing which has been cut before it is complete, or an animal whose tail has been cut fully, others have said, or others said even partly, then it would be known as after. And from that, I mean, because the descendants of a person follows him, some sort of a tail, I mean a following of him, he is continuation of a person. That's why anybody whose descendants have been cut is known as Abtar as well. So really, your enemy, Shania, one who hates you, Huwal Abtar, he is the one whose descendants have been cut off. As far as traditions are concerned, I mean, there is also a big difference in who is this Shani. Because all of them have said Shanu Nuzul is that this was revealed when somebody told the Prophet that you are Abta or he is Abta. Most of them have said it is Aht ibn Wail, but others have said Abu Jahal and many others. And we don't know for specific whether these people were Abta. I don't know. While others have said that he was. So, without looking at the traditions, we see that it says any of your, or whoever is your, I mean, it's not saying specifically that Nashaniyaka, your enemy, he is the one who is Abtar. So, anybody who is an enemy of the Prophet, he is Abtar. He is the one who doesn't have a following, doesn't have a continuation. He will end where it ends. So we can sort of say that anything or all those people who are opposing the Prophet are after. Today we see it, and there's nobody who is following them anyway. And the Prophet is the one who has got the following. So the prophecy of this surah can be said to be true and can sort of apply to all of his enemies rather than any specific one. So that's where the surah ends. Very brief surah, and giving a lot of comfort to the Prophet in the early parts when he didn't have a following, on one of his sons, or when he has had a loss, and nobody could see how this thing was going to continue the religion. Allah saying, Inna atainaka al-kawthar, don't worry, we have given you a lot of good. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. So pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give sacrifice. Be thankful to Him. Those who are enemies or your enemy is the one who doesn't have a following. You have a big following and things will follow. I think I'll stop here. If there are any questions, take it off. But this, I said we should look at the general meaning of the words rather than what specifically have been said by the traditions. Though the traditions can be included as part of Kawthar, we can say part of any. In fact, one of the traditions does say, somebody was asked at Kawthar that the people, he said that lot of good, and then somebody asked him, but these people think that it is Hawla in Jannah. He said that it's part of the lot of good that Allah has given to the Prophet. One of the things.
The tradition that actually says when the son
died, from where this tradition that I have seen, in fact, they are also. The default assumption that it is after Abdullah died, now that it was after Ibrahim died. But I haven't gone and looked at the book of Sirah to say when they fell apart.
That's
the Imran,
that's
the Imran. Yeah, this is what I would have thought, yeah.
And then surely the Prophet was fed on just that mission, so it's more likely that something like this would have been said to him in Medina.
In Medina, the end of it.
Yeah.
Well, in Medina, the other thing is that he had a following and so on. Yeah, it is possible. So maybe that's why the other traditions say Medina, but it's very difficult from the traditions to say which. Some are saying Mecca. So more of them are saying Mecca. More of the Mufassirs also sort of say that this is a Meccan surah. But yes, this is the point that we can look at the Sirah and see when is. I don't actually at this moment remember when his son died.
Are we following Islamic culture or Indian culture or Western culture?
As far as, I mean, I don't know specifically anything in fiqh which says that you have to take your fathers or mothers, and there we can also argue with what was sort of prevalent at the time. Was it Arab culture or was it an Islamic thing that Prophet sort of, even if the Prophet followed it, there's a lot of sort of debate also. What part of it was sort of, because it was sort of, Prophet was indifferent, so he followed what was the tradition, and where it was also necessary introduced in that one. So what he was following, for example, dress and all this, was Arab culture, or is it Islamic culture? So the Arabs used to, as you say, I mean, they don't have this concept of or taking of, I don't think they have the concept of taking somebody, a wife taking a husband, and they call it daughter of somebody, so she stays the daughter of somebody. So I don't know, I mean, specifically, without sort of going into detail as to what Islam, whether Islam actually says that you have to do one or the other, or whether anyone cares. And what was the other one? So, yeah, in, as far as the descendants are concerned, this also, I mean, as far as the Arabs were concerned, they had no sort of, the women were not concerned, females were not concerned, they were not regarded as descendants of a man. And in fact, Islam brought this thing that they were, to some extent, because inheritance shows, I mean, though you may say that they are getting half of it, but at least they are getting something that shows that they are descendants, and this thing was very big steps, clearly stating that Islam does consider they are descendants.
So the verification of this surah, I think that was part of that.
This is what is one of the things which have been sort of mentioned that it means, and this also Tabatabai, as I said, says that he sort of says that it points towards it, that this Kawthar, one of the things is the loss of descendants, and that daughter. But then even those people who say that, they would say it's only in the case of the Prophet. Fatima's children were considered the Prophet's children, not in all the cases. You wouldn't sort of say that the daughter's children are your children, but of course, I mean, they do say, because Sikh usually says, I mean, at one stage, I mean, if he doesn't have a child, then it's the female child who is also Wali or whatever, so the child is considered descendant of, obviously it is, she is a descendant of the father or whatever, parents as well. So that is there, but I mean, this surah does not sort of specifically say that would come under fiqh, and fuqahs have their own sort of rules. That is true. The original Arabs used to think that.
They used to think what?
That our male, in fact, they used to have a poem which says, "Abna'una ibn Abna'i," or something. It says literally, translation is that our children are the children of our boys, our sons, and the children of our daughters are children of somebody else, not our children. That was what the Jahiliyyah used to say, but that Islam sort of did nullify that thing. It says that our daughters can sort of inherit us, they are our children.
But then, I mean, the children of a daughter keep their father's name,
because
they're not on the mother's side,
so they have to explain. I'm not trying to explain anything. It's a debate, as I said.
But so what I'm saying is that even in sort of Arab culture,
whatever. What I'm saying is, first, fiqh is concerned, a daughter's child in some cases may inherit things. So this is what I'm saying, that the link, they are regarded as father's descendants as well. This is what I'm saying, this is the most I can think of. But whether they are regarded as, there is a debate, and depends how you look at it. There is no clear sort of thing, there is no ayah or tradition, but as far as fiqh rules are concerned, times you can see that the daughter's children can sort of inherit.
Would that be mainly in Shi'i fiqh, and that probably
because of the concept of the divine one. I don't think there are inheritance. I mean, that Sunni Sikhs sort of say that the lotus cannot inherit.
Well, not inherit, but they normally say that it have other male relatives, they proceed, take priority over the lotus.
No, this thing that the male would get twice as much as the female.
No, not that. The daughter. Even if there's a son, there's only one daughter.
I don't know. From what I understand, as far as the Quran is concerned, they would give her the daughter's share, but as, I mean, as you know, I mean, when they sometimes we think that there are two sort of, one is that the Quranic specified share, and then the Quran, when the share of the Quran is given, it doesn't come up to one, so what happens to the rest? And this is how that is distributed. There is a lot of difference among the Muslims, but as far as share is notified by the Quran, that the girl, the daughter will get, or the boy will get twice as much as the daughter is, the daughter. I don't think that the daughter is there, somebody else to take away her share. Then,
but
not
necessarily her share, but the fact that she would give everything to the daughter.
Yeah, that is because what would happen is that the daughter is, for example, given so much, right? And that they say, okay, the Quran says so much. Now, what happens to the rest is different. Right? So Shia would say that if the first circle, that is, if a person who has got first link with a dead person, like a daughter has got, or a son, only one is, like a father or mother, if that circle exists, nobody else will inherit anything apart from the wife, relation. So everything will go to them. But as far as the Quran is concerned, it has given a portion that this person is, or this relative, so much, so much. So the Sunnis also follow that portion, and then what happens to the rest? There's confusion. If you look at hadith also, I mean, there are big asal list, I don't know why it doesn't come up to one. So what will happen to the rest? And that is where ijtihad has come in. As part of ijtihad, what happens to that share? But anyway, I mean, what is to say that they will not sort of say that the daughter's share is not there. How much is the question? Yeah, I agree. So it would depend on his focus, perception as to notice that he is not off. But anyway, the thing that you say that, yeah, it is, they are regarded, that's why they're given a share. Otherwise, they wouldn't be given a share. Now, also another tradition which says on the day of Qiyamah, but they maybe have different things. People will be called through their mother and their father and their father. Because you are certain who their mother is, you are certain of Sapphire being Christian.
But then the mother's name would be the surname, if you like.
No, it would be her name, yeah. Yeah, but your mother would be called from your mother's name, who would be called from her mother's name, her mother's name, so it's the mother of change rather than father, right? Because the thing also applies to your mother and mother's mother, all of them would be called from your mother.
Is Talqeen, is it specified that it must be by the father's name?
Yeah, in the Talqeen actually the specification also is not even name, also you can even say Yaqi or whatever. Your brother, and you also see the concept Yaqi, Yabi. And that is also in Nikah as well. I mean, it's to make the person, I mean, somehow to indicate, I mean, there is only an indication.
So the name is
not the person? It's not, Talqeen is not the
name. No, I mean, I know
that,
it's
not. That also the name is not, yeah. As long as you somehow indicate that this person is
not.
In the Talqeen. No, but I mean, it doesn't say that they must not be called their mother's name. Everybody has to be called. Because they must also their mother's son.
Yeah.
Anyway, But I don't know. The answer is, I mean, I don't know very clearly. I mean, there is no, as far as I know. But we can look into it here when I.